This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. We're less than 3 weeks away from Election Day, and right now the Senate is in the middle of probably confirming a new Supreme Court justice. Focusing on that, plus elections in their home state, plus their own re-election bids can be a lot to handle. And right now there are 35 senators in that position, including Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. He joins me now to talk about it. Senator Warner, welcome back to the program.
Jen, thanks for having me on.
So I want to start with the confirmation hearing of Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Today is the fourth and final day. She will almost certainly be confirmed. During the hearings, we've heard Democrats express concerns about her stance on the Affordable Care Act, Roe v. Wade, marriage equality, voting rights. But again, she's likely to be confirmed. So what happens next? Are you in favor of packing the court?
Well, first of all, Jen, I know nominees generally like to hide their views, but I was pretty disappointed in the judge's comments yesterday where she refused to weigh in on climate change, peaceful transfer of power, whether there'd ever been voting discrimination. These seem to be fairly basic notions that I wish we hadn't received a punt answer. In terms of these ideas of court packing or adding, I don't think that's a good idea. That's not where I want to go. I still, perhaps naively, think that there may be an additional couple of my Republican colleagues who may say, as we get closer and closer to election, maybe we should put off this vote until the people have weighed in. And then if Mr. Trump wins, we could go forward with Judge Barrett. If Mr. Biden wins, it would be a different nominee. But I really find the hypocrisy of rushing this through while people are voting, when frankly, we should be in session as soon as possible, voting on a major new COVID relief package. That's what the economy needs. That's what people need.
But if Judge Barrett is in fact confirmed, you are not in favor of packing the court.
Listen, I just don't think that's a good idea.
You've voiced concerns about what Barrett's confirmation could mean for the Affordable Care Act and whether Americans with pre-existing conditions will continue to have coverage. Explain a little bit more about your concerns.
Well, 3.5 million Virginians, including my daughter, who's a type 1 diabetic, are protected from discrimination from insurance companies because of the ACA. Women are protected from discrimination from insurance companies because the ACA. Seniors, because they're older. The only reason you could create these kind of protections for pre-existing conditions was because a series of other market reforms that took place in the ACA. We have, in the case of my opponent and a number of Republican candidates, who act like they want to be able to somehow wave a magic wand and protect people with pre-existing conditions or keep kids on their parents' healthcare plans till they're 26. You can't cherry pick the good parts of the ACA without having the market reform. Somehow going to health savings accounts, for example, just isn't going to cut it. And as I've tried to make clear, you know, voters, Americans, don't have to simply take my word for it, but listen to the Cancer Society, listen to the Diabetes Association, listen to the AARP, for example, who said the ACA is the lifeline for a lot of these protections.
If you're reelected, what's your plan for expanding healthcare access in Virginia?
Well, let's do a couple of things. One, and I think there's some bipartisan consensus on this, let's go ahead and have the United States join other industrial nations and negotiate for drug prices. We have enormous purchasing power through Medicare. There's no reason why Americans should pay 2, 3, 4 times as much as other nations. Two, I do think we need additional subsidy support for those mid-level plans, the so-called silver level plans, so that they're not as expensive. Three, and this is actually an idea that some of my Republican colleagues have, as long as there are consumer protections in place, I don't mind if insurance companies sell products across state lines. That would add more competition. And four, I think we still need to build upon the Medicaid expansion. And in Virginia, we were a little late expanding Medicaid. I would go back and offer those states, many of them Republican states, the opportunity to expand Medicaid still, and still have that full federal match for the period that other states had.
Well, we're less than 3 weeks out from November 3rd. We know millions of Americans have already voted.
As somebody who's up 19 days, I'm counting on each one of these days.
Well, yesterday, a federal judge extended Virginia voter registration through Thursday, that's today, after the registration website crashed on Tuesday, which was originally the last day to register. How confident are you that Virginia is equipped to handle the influx of mail-in ballots that have already been pouring in for weeks now?
Well, the reason the system crashed was a worker cut a cable line by mistake. I'm confident that early vote, where we've had record numbers in Virginia, I'm confident that our postal workers will do the right thing. My hope is we may get upwards to 50% of our vote in before Election Day in Virginia. But I am concerned that whether, as somebody who is the vice chair of the Intel Committee, foreign interference in terms of trying to hack into or delay voting and delay counting, I'm concerned that the president has not agreed to a peaceful transfer of power. I'm concerned that the president might call upon his supporters to show up and try to intimidate voters on Election Day. These are things that just don't happen in the United States of America. And I hope leaders of goodwill, and frankly, I hope the media as well will be willing to call out this type of intimidation and also make sure that we don't jump to conclusions until all the votes are counted.
We're talking to Mark Warner, a Democratic senator from Virginia. His opponent in that race, Daniel Gade. I want to move on to talk about the foiled kidnapping plot against Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We learned earlier this week that Virginia Governor Ralph Northam was also a potential target. And here's part of what he told CNN yesterday.
This is not about me. It's not about the governor of Michigan. This is about this country. And it's about a president that is emboldening these individuals, these white supremacists. And this started, John, back in Charlottesville, back in 2017, with that tremendous tragedy when white supremacists marched into that city, spewing their hatred and bigotry. Our president said that these were fine individuals. There's nothing fine about them.
Senator Warner, in April, President Trump singled out both Governor Northam and Governor Whitmer, urging his supporters to, quote unquote, liberate these states. Now we have these kidnapping plots. To what extent do you believe the president's rhetoric has emboldened far-right extremists and white supremacists?
I think the president's rhetoric has been extraordinarily irresponsible. I think we saw it again as recently as the first presidential debate, where he didn't disavow white supremacist groups like the Proud Boys and simply said, stand down, but stay ready. I think that's wrong. I think leaders have to be responsible for their words. I worry that many of them, some of my Republican colleagues in the Senate, have not been willing to call out these so-called militia groups. I'm worried that my own opponent has called them, he likes to call them patriot groups, not militia groups. There is nothing patriotic about taking up arms against elected officials. And I worry as well, Jen, that you have these comments coming out of the president or others. And then one of the challenges of something I've been working on for some time is how we put some guardrails around parts of social media. Then you can go into these social media groups where these extremist views are simply reinforced. And that radical positions can then move from talk to potentially action, as we saw in the case of Michigan and potentially Virginia.
And just to be clear, the president's direct quote during that debate was stand back and stand by in response to questions about him disavowing white supremacists. When you discovered Governor Northam was also targeted, Senator, how did you react? Does this have any implications for the safety of you and other members of the Virginia State House?
Well, as a former governor myself, I felt a great deal of both sympathy and empathy for Ralph and Pam Northam. I think they have stood up, and I think the governor responded appropriately. I felt the same for Governor Whitmer. I'm glad to see that law enforcement was on top of both of these plots. But this type of activity, this type of, if you don't get your way by the ballot box, you may resort to violence, this notion of resisting. These are concepts that normally we attribute to other nations. This stuff just doesn't happen in the United States of America. And it's one of the reasons why I hope that people will acknowledge this is the most important election of our lifetime and vote in record numbers. I think not only are we going to say to ourselves what kind of nation we are, but we're going to say to the rest of the world. And from my position on the Intelligence Committee, I can tell you the rest of the world is looking a little askew at America, and America that isn't involved with the rest of the world, and America that has walked away from our traditional values. And I think the rest of the world would welcome an American return to global leadership, but leadership that's not simply based upon military, but based upon peaceful transfer of power, based upon rule of law, based upon the fact that when we have divisions in our country, we settle them at the ballot box, not by picking up a firearm.
I think it's important to note that America does, in fact, have a history of voter intimidation at the ballot box, sometimes using violence. That is a part of our history. Very briefly, Senator, what, if anything, can Congress do to address this rise in white supremacy and far-right extremism?
Well, I think there's a set of rules that we can take on around social media. The exemptions is called Section 230 that grants the Facebooks and Googles a total exemption from any type of control over their content, I think needs to be reexamined. I think we need to make sure that our FBI, that says oftentimes these domestic white supremacist groups are some of our most dangerous, they need to be empowered. And I think we need to vote in record numbers. There is a history in this country of racial discrimination and other voter intimidation.
We have to leave it there.
No to that.
That's Mark Warner, a Democratic senator from Virginia. Senator, thanks for your time. We'll be back in a moment. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.